this marks the third day of our Govardhan retreat. This retreat actually has a very important and very necessary purpose in our devotional life. What we sincerely wish to experience in this retreat is a change of heart. We wish to not think so much about our own thoughts and lives, but we want to redirect our thinking to the original, supreme, attractive personality of Godhead. We have assembled at the in a sacred valley, just very close to Giriraj, so that we can actually say we are sitting on the lap of Giriraj. And we beg his kind assistance to bring us closer to Lord Krishna, because he is competent to bestow this blessing. He is Haridasa Varyo, the best of Lord Krishna's servants. He is a pure devotee whose heart is overflowing with compassion and the desire to help those who take shelter at his lotus feet. I am very grateful that all of you are very serious Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who are very concentrated on this purpose of obtaining the mercy, and I feel our group is slowly growing together, and Giriraj is certainly very pleased. It is said in many of these Ashtakas that when you, for instance, assemble at the bank of the Yamuna and talk about Krishna and sing about Krishna, then Yamuna Devi becomes so pleased that finally my devotees are sitting next to me and talking about Krishna, that she is very easily ready to bestow all her mercies to get Krishna Prema. There are altogether five personalities who can give you Krishna Prema and Braj. Their storehouses are never closed, but they are always open. The first is the dust of Vrindavan. The second is Yamuna Devi. The third is Purnamasi, the great arranger in Vrindavan, who moves everyone around. The fourth is Gopeshwara Mahadev, the gatekeeper to Vrindavan, whose permission you require to enter into the moods of Vrindavan. The fifth of the personalities by whose blessing you can get prema in Vrindavan is Giriraj Govardhan, at whose sacred site we are sitting. This morning we will start with one quality of Lord Krishna, which is very important for a devotee who feels that he or she has made mistakes in her and his life. Who of you thinks that you are faultless, you have never committed offenses? No one. I am surprised. I think we all know that unfortunately, due to our influence, being influenced by Rajagun and Tamagun, the aparada which removes us from Radharani's service is very great. There's a great chance that this comes. So Krishna's quality is Kshama Shila. That's the 25th quality. It means forgiving. Srila Rupa Goswami defines Krishna's forgiving potency by saying, I'm actually taking this from Prabhupada's expression. A person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving. Correct. The example which Rupa Goswami gives to illustrate how forgiving Krishna is Shishupala, the king of the Chedi kingdom. When Shishupala came out of this mother's womb, he and was just very small in the age where children can't speak properly, he already began to offend Krishna. Now, there is a long history of Shishupala's offenses which cannot be traced back only in this one lifetime. You have to go into another life, and we will do this soon. We will go in the past life regression of Shishupala. It will become very intense for a moment as we do this reincarnation transgression, or what is it, trans something. Shishupala, instead of saying first Mama and Papa, by the way, in Sanskrit these are also not such nice words. Mama means mine and Papa means sin. This is our first words which we usually learn to speak. But we mean them referring to our parents, Mama and Papa. Instead of saying Mama and Papa, he began to formulate the word Krishna, which is difficult for a little baby, is bad, and so on. He really offended Lord Krishna. As much as possible, whenever there was a chance. So, when he finally came to the Shishupala, to the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, where Krishna had washed every guest's feet. Krishna was sitting at the entrance and taking the role of the foot washer of everyone. What did Shishupala the rascal do? After it was decided that Krishna is the most glorious person to be worshipped first in this great sacrificial offering, he began to curse Krishna. Oh Krishna, you are this. I will not repeat these words because Giriraj will become very displeased with us to hear Shishupala what he exactly said. He said things where he seriously attacked Krishna's character, integrity, his courage. He did something where he called Krishna a person who lacks courage, and so on and so forth. He really attacked mean in his words. But Keshava did not even respond to Shishupal. And Rupa Goswami says, a lion roars in response to the sound of thunder, but not to the cry of a jackal. Keshava just sat there, smiling very transcendentally, and Shishupala was going, all the soldiers wanted to rush at Shishupala, smash his sinful skull 5 meters into the ground. But Krishna held them all back and said, no, it's all right. So forgiving is Krishna. Now, let us now go into past life. What do we call this in English? Regression, thank you, not transgression. That is what Shishupala did. He transgressed everything. Let us go into the past life of Shishupala. The son of Indra, Jayanta, once took the form of a crow when Ram and Mother Sita were in the forest. And while they were conversing confidentially, this mystical crow began to attack Mother Sita and scratch, at most properly, the most delicate part of the body, at the breasts of Mother Sita. Later, then Lord Rama, you know, couldn't believe it. He took his arrow and pointed it at the crow and said, "Hey, crow, this is too much," and wanted to kill the crow. But the crow immediately understood his bad intention, what he did bad, and fell down to Lord Ramachandra's lotus feet and began to pray for forgiveness. And Lord Ramachandra, being the Supreme Lord who is forgiving Kshamashila, forgave him. He only said, "Listen, crow, I have released my arrow. It must go somewhere. Where should it go?" The crow said, "In my eyes, because I had the wrong vision of Mother Sita. Let these eyes go." And the arrow took away the eyesight. Later, this crow, who was so offensive as to attack Mother Sita in such a confidential situation, was reborn as Shishupala, one of the sworn enemies of Krishna. And in this incarnation, or in this birth, Lord Krishna showed the high extent of his forgiving power by not only forgiving Shishupala, but, listen to this very attentively, by granting the crow, the liberation called Sayuja Mukti. What is Sayuja Mukti? Merging with Krishna. Yamunacharya writes about this. You know, he thinks Krishna is even more compassionate than Ram, because Ram didn't liberate the crow. The crow, which was Jayanta, had to come back as Shishupala. So Yamunacharya's hairs are standing in ecstasy, like this, like a transcendental porcupine. And he writes, "O Lord, as Rama you showed pity to the crow because he submitted, and then in another lifetime, O Krishna, you gave final liberation in form of Sayuja Mukti to this offender who was at this time Shishupal. Tell me, just what kind of offenses are you not willing to tolerate from him?" And Srila Prabhupada comments this. Sri Yamunacharya says in his prayer that the forgiving power of Lord Krishna is even greater than that of Lord Ramachandra, because Shishupal was always in the habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lives. Still, Krishna was so kind that he gave Shishupal the salvation of merging into his existence. From this we can understand that the goal of the monist to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme is not a very difficult problem. Persons like Shishupal, who are constantly inimical to Krishna, can also get this liberation. Now I have a question for you. How do you explain this forgiving nature of Krishna? Isn't it beyond the conception? Can you give us some reason why Krishna is so forgiving? Imagine someone attacking Mother Sita with claws, you know, and they, we don't want to tell this so graphically, but this Jayanta who came at this crowd was really too much. So offensive. And then coming later is Shishupal, and Krishna says, come into my embrace, and gives him oneness with him. How do you explain this? You look bewildered. Krishna is not envious. Is this a good explanation? What is your thought? You are speechless. Because you are overwhelmed with wonder. Saranandi. Krishna is beyond all these dealings and actions which happen on this platform and has so much love. There are two reasons which I could find, but maybe you can also think more about this. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Aham Bija Pratha Pita. I am the seed-giving father of all. Do we have some fathers amongst us? Hanuman, you are a father as well? I know Bhuri Jam Prabhu is a father of two children. You are also a father? A father has to be forgiving to his children. Isn't it? Because he feels like this. They are basically all right. Mother and father's nature are like this. They are always, they feel this forgiving nature. I know that when Babyface Nelson, one of the most notorious criminals of America, was executed on the electrical chair, he had one last desire, and he desired to see his auntie, who was acting like his mother. And he said to his auntie, come close, auntie. He was bound, because Babyface Nelson was really too much as a criminal. So he was coming, he said, come close, auntie. I want to say something in your ear which only you can hear. The auntie came close. And then Babyface Nelson jumped up like a crocodile and bit off her ear. Why have you been so lenient with me? Now I'm killed. You know. But the auntie was later asked, what do you think about Babyface Nelson? And she said in a motherly bath, well, you know, he was a little disturbed. That happens in such situations. He's a good boy. He was misunderstood. The motherly bath is always forgiving. Krishna Nanda cannot believe his ears, but this is because you are a brahmachari. Mother and father will always forgive their child. And it's necessary for the child to grow up, because the child does so much glupost. Glupost means nonsense. That if there would not be anyone who forgives us, what will come out of us? isn't it? I can even imagine our little Satya, who looks so sweet. Sometimes she does impossible things, isn't it? Yeah, of course, yes. And mother has to forgive. No problem. So, Krishna is the seed-giving father. And he feels like this towards all of us. Another reason is that there are three attributes to Lord Krishna. Krishna is confident, he's secure, and he's full of well-being. See, only a person who is a little disturbed cannot forgive the minor and bigger offenses of others. Someone who is full of well-being and secure and confident, he has no problem when someone is forgiving him. Stay. Don't go so fast. This was an address to the cow which just passed this far. Krishna also forgave Brahma, who kidnapped his cowherd boyfriends. And Krishna forgave Indra, who tried to destroy the cows, Krishna's family, and Braj. In fact, and here you can see Krishna's confident and secure in nature, Krishna was more pleased with Indra than with Brahma. Although Indra really attacked with deadly intent, I mean, he created the greatest flood catastrophe which the history of this unfortunate planet has ever known. I mean, it was a catastrophe which really would have killed everyone if Krishna would not have protected his devotees. Krishna forgave Indra more than Brahma, who kidnapped the cowherd boys. Do you know the reason, Krishnananda? Under the hill, yeah. And Brahma? Brahma separated. So Krishnananda very pointedly turns our attention to the fact that when Indra attacked, all the Brijbasis came underneath the hill and stayed together for 7 long days, which is a long time. Usually, Krishna always leaves the Brijbasis early in the morning and comes when the sun sets back. So they were for 7 days enjoying the constant festival of seeing Lord Krishna's beautiful features. And it was a festival. It is described that over the Giriraj there were flashes and clouds and rain storms, but underneath Giriraj there was another storm. Would you like to hear about the storm which was underneath the hill? It was a beauty storm. From Krishna's transcendental form, waves of loveliness emanated. His dhoti looked yellow like a flash, and his beautiful body looked like a rain-filled cloud. So there was another storm under the hill, which was a beauty storm. I think we are the only people who know of a beauty storm. So if Krishna would not have been confident, secure, and full of well-being, he would most probably think that the offense of Brahma was less. He just did something mystical and he wanted to return the boys anyways. But he thought Indra was better because he brought all the devotees together. It's a different perspective. Krishna is also ready to forgive his devotees when they make mistakes, even if the devotees commit an abominable action. Who knows the verse from the Bhagavad Gita? Narayani. Yes. Even, thank you very much, Narayani, for enhancing our hearing pleasure. Even if one commits the most abominable action, is the English translation. If he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Imagine Krishna's perspective to say such a thing. Huh? He is ready to forgive us. Now, this brings us to a very important subject. Krishna is also pleased when a devotee is forgiving by his nature. If you want to remain fixed in the qualities of a sadhu, then you have to learn to become fixed in the quality of forgiveness. This material world is unfortunately full of aggressive people, people who also make sometimes mistakes. And if you do not learn to become forgiving, then you will leave the position of a sadhu. Whenever someone is disrespectful towards you, you are not forgiving, then you will come from the level of saintliness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains this. He says, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness. How do we say this properly, please? Covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, and so on. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly persons endowed with divine nature. Forgiveness is something which is indicative of a divine nature. On the quite and the opposite, there are five qualities which are roads to hell. It's pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature. It's very, very important, my dear devotees, that you learn to forgive the greater and the minor of offenses which are created invariably against your saintly personality. It's a very important. Chanakya Pandit has said that the main quality of a sadhu is his ability to forgive. It is said, the beauty of a woman are in his eyes, the beauty of a man are in his biceps muscles. No, this sounds wrong. In his intelligence. The beauty of a man are in his intelligence. The beauty of the nightingale, it's a bird, is in her beautiful singing. And the beauty of a sadhu are in his ability to forgive. You must learn this. There's a Christian prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Hallelujah. So, Prabhupada reminds us that Jesus forgave his torturers. Huh? This is very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur here encourages us. If you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. And it means give up your false ego and think of yourself as very lowly and wretched, more insignificant. And grass. Practice the virtue of tolerance by emulating the trees. Give up revenge and instead look after other creatures. You know, they say in Spanish, revenge is a sweet dish best served cold. That is after some time, when he doesn't count any longer, that you give him a slap. Give up revenge and look after other creatures. Do not give distress to any other being in order to maintain your body. Forget your own selfish concerns by serving others, even if you possess all good qualities. Do not try to profit from it by looking for prestige. Keep your heart simple. Know that all living beings carry Krishna in their heart, and so you should offer them respect in all circumstances. This is a standard, spiritual standard for forgiveness. When someone is not acting respectfully or even properly, no, there's Krishna in the heart of this person. He may have, at this moment, this person may have seen some fault in me by his own vision. Cultivate the four qualities of humility, compassion, respect for others, and indifference to worldly honors. And chant the holy name. Have you noticed how Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts it? He says, if you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories. Who desires to chant Krishna's names and glories? Many of us. And do you sometimes feel it's so difficult to chant properly? Yeah. If you really desire to do this, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. See, in this material world, people do everything to get a little money. Huh? They serve unqualified people mineral waters in the restaurant as waiters. And when the person says to the waiter, hey, waiter, you do not look properly dressed today, he will say, I will try my best to look better tomorrow, the waiter. He forgives everything. Because he knows he wants money, and he wants what we can call in German the drinking money. Do you have a drink? What is it? A tip. Is it called a tip? Trinkgeld, yeah. Trinkgeld, danke. A tip. He wants a tip. And he's prepared to do everything, to forgive everything, to just overlook everything. Because he is fixed on the value of wealth, of money. So if you are fixed on the value of chanting Krishna's name, you should be able to forgive the minor and bigger offenses against others. It's necessary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur cries out, when, oh when, will you make me qualified to chant your holy names? Hare Krishna. This is on forgiveness. I want to see if you have any questions, my dear devotees. Yes?
How do you understand, though, that it says that giant Vijay, they were cursed, and then the Ramlila, the Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then Sisipala and Dantavakra? How did this cross begin?
How did this Jai and Vijay became cursed and became three persons, Ravan and Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra, and yes, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. How did the crow fit in there? Yes, this is a very good question. Thank you very much. Let me see. Yeah, this is a very good question. I have no problems to speculate all kind of things, but I do not know the answer. Maybe it was a little detour? Insignificant in terms of, or a partial demoniac, you know, representation, but I really cannot give an authorized answer. Thank you. How can we practically practice forgiveness in our life, especially amongst devotees? I think you agree with me, Fodiba, that to forgive you need a certain mental power or character power, and this power only comes by bhajan. It does not come in any other way. A person who has a good bhajan becomes spiritually strong to forgive. A person who has no strong bhajan will not be able to forgive. This is a very simple. Especially the power of tolerance and forbearing, these are all in the area of forgiveness, do come from bhajan. That's the only source. And I think those of you who had to forgive someone, they know. When you're spiritually strong, you are able to forgive. Otherwise, it's just an artificial practice of a good intentioned mind. Krishna Nandan. What is the correct balance between bhajan and services which produce immediate results? There are different ways to approach this subject. I would like to give you one way which I'm personally practicing. Your own honesty will be able to tell you how well are you situated in spiritual life, how much are you under the modes of nature. And sometimes we need to do a little bit more. We need to read more and chant more because we feel spiritually weak, and then we can do. Obviously, this question ultimately needs to be discussed with one's guru. And I would strongly encourage you to do so. This balance between bhajan and active service, it needs to be discussed. He can assess you, he can see where you are and what you require. Usually in our tradition, Ekadasi, which happens every 2 weeks, is set aside for increased bhajan. Good. I wish to go to the next point. Prashanta is there. Mahabhagavat, I see your kind sleeping face all the time. It is extremely attractive. I just wanted to tell you this. Hare Krishna.
When someone, if we've had a hard time with someone, and somehow we manage forgiving the person, established relationship with someone who offended us very badly or who hurt us, and we manage forgiving, but still we don't manage reconnecting with our relationship. Does that mean we haven't forgiven, or is it a fact that we have to change the relationship?
How do we manage to establish a relationship to a person who has badly offended us and whom we have managed to forgive? It's very interesting that when Vallabhacharya comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to show his superiority, and in the process attacks Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Why do you devotees always chant Hare Krishna? No one should chant. We are Prakriti, we are female, and no woman calls her husband by her name or by his name always. Why do you always chant Hare Krishna? You should not chant Hare Krishna. This is what he says. So, at the end of this Leela, Vallabhacharya says, please, if you have forgiven me, then please accept my invitation. In other words, he wants to establish a relationship of a host to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu goes and visits him. So when we forgive someone, it's nice if there is some action which shows the person that we have forgiven him or her. It's nice. Then it is complete in a culture. However, I do not... I'm one of these preachers in Krishna consciousness who thinks we shouldn't do any things artificial. If you just feel you can forgive, you have forgiven this person, but for a close relationship, you may feel we are so different, then I would do something, a respect from the distance. Because it might be that you come too close and again your biochemical compositions begin to react in a unfavorable way. I really believe in this, keeping a well-wishing and kind, polite and respectful distance may sometimes be the most practical thing. But not a different distance from where you subtly hurt the other person. This is what I think we have to be practical. We are not Uttama Adhikaris who see everyone on the same level, you know, as servants of Krishna. We wish to do this, but if we now preach as if we could do what Uttama Adhikaris can do, I really don't think it would be so practical. But forgiving you must do. I will end this thing with a little side work to psychology, because I know devotees want to also hear about something practical. In Psychology Today, that's an American journal on psychology, an interesting experiment was described. The condensate of the human breath was investigated. This is the condensate of the human breath. When a person was angry, it was taken, the condensate, and it was seen there was enough poison in the condensate to kill one guinea pig. Hare Krishna. Now, if you are for 1 hour angry, your body produces enough poison to conveniently murder 80 innocent guinea pigs. To think if you are angry and not forgiving is bad for the other person, not for you, is as foolish as to think that by drinking a cup of poison, the other person will be harmed and not you. Hare Krishna. Forgiving is convenient. It gets the toxins out of your body. I'm trying to preach on the lowest possible level that it is necessary to be forgiving, to convince my audience in all situations of life and intellectual stations. It's important. I'm very sorry for this. You have a poor preacher from the West who always has to say such things to convince a Western audience. We will now go back to Krishna as fast as we can. Okay? 29th quality, Vadanya. Vadanya means magnanimous. Srila Rupa Goswami defines a magnanimous person by saying, he who is a heroic giver is called magnanimous. Heroic giver, a hero in giving. And Prabhupada explains this, any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. There is a very nice sloka which Rupa Goswami has composed. He says about Krishna that the slayer of Kamsa completely satisfied the desires of all those who approached him with a wish, thereby rendering worthless the Chintamani jewel. You know what the Chintamani jewel can do? Turn iron into gold. It can fulfill you many desires. The Kamadhenu cow is better than the Kamadhenu cow and the Kalpadroma tree, who now with humility worship Krishna's royal city of Dwaraka. Krishna is such a magnanimous giver. He gives away more than the Chintamani jewel, more than the Kamadhenu cow, and more than the Kalpadruma tree. What is a Kalpadruma tree? A wish-fulfilling tree. You can go under a wish-fulfilling tree and ask him for everything, says Prabhupada. Not only the fruits which belong to the species of the tree, but anything. I mean, pelicans and psycho wristwatches. There is no limitation to a real Kalpadruma tree, the trees who are standing in the spiritual world. And this is really Krishna's giving nature. He's giving himself even to his devotees. Srila Prabhupada says, in the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows, which give unlimited quantities of milk. There are desire trees, from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits, as much as they may desire. And the land is made of touchstone, which when touched to iron will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still when Krishna was in Dwaraka, his charity exceeded the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. I find this a very, very, very important quality of Lord Krishna. He is giving more than a kalpa vriksha tree, more than a kamadhenu cow, more than a touchstone. Rupa Goswami gives a second example that, you know, when Krishna lived in Dwaraka, he expanded himself in 16,108 forms, which resided in 16,108 palaces. So every morning the brahmanas came to Lord Krishna at the doorstep of the palace, and daily Krishna would give 13,054 lavishly ornamented cows in charity. Imagine He did this from each one of the 16,108 palaces. The cows had golden horns, wonderful blankets with silken embroidery work. They had sometimes sapphires on their hooves for decoration, minor decorations, and so on. I have asked someone to work with a computer and count how many cows Krishna gave daily. And this is what the computer said. 2 million... No, wrong. I said, so I can't even pronounce this without fainting, so I might fall now back over. 208 million decorated cows were given by Krishna each day. You must agree, someone who can give daily 208 million cows is a most magnanimous person. Yes, even the cows are fully agreeable to this. Now, Lord Krishna is talking about... Yes, we know. We have no doubts. Thank you for your kind reminding us. Krishna glorifies the quality of magnanimity. Oh, I can't speak this word. Please say it. Yes. See, the cows are getting ecstatic to hear this. He describes this, and he says a magnanimous person should give his life, wealth, and intelligence to others. Krishna has given this. Lord Krishna is more magnanimous even than Lord Rama. See, when Ravana's sister Sopanak begged Rama for his hand, Rama said no. But when Sopanaka reappeared in Dwarapa Yuga as Krupja, she again wanted to have Krishna, and she expressed her desire by when she met Krishna in Mathura. I mean, this was quite extraordinary. She began to rip and to pull at the dhoti. This is a very, very clear sign of her desire. You know, this is quite obvious and quite, I mean, maybe not the most cultured sign for a woman to express her desire to a man. But Krishna was so magnanimous that he gladly accepted her proposal and gave himself in return. He paid a visit to Kopja. So Lord Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in this form he was even more magnanimous than Krishna. There is an acceleration or an increasement of magnanimity. First is Lord Rama, then comes Krishna is more magnanimous, and then now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given something which even Krishna himself did not give. Krishna gave himself to Kupja, which is already something, but he did not give love. Hari Bol! Please speak. Yes. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha. Very good. Yes, we certainly agree. Yes, we are fully on your side. Krishna is wonderful. More. This cow is in ecstasy. No, it's a cow. Yes, because she heard about Krishna. At least I see the udder. It's really nice. Look, it's a cow. Please, one more time. She feels bhava. Actually, once Krishna was asked, why are you so black? You cannot be the son of Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda because you are so black. And they are fair. So Krishna couldn't answer. And then Yashoda said, you were given the cows of the cow milk of black cows. That's why. So Krishna was saved. Let us read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, this is very nice. This is ecstatic to hear about Krishna. This cow was so ecstatic. Have you heard? Have you seen how she? I think you did not see, but she really really. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Who is more? Please repeat. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, pure love of Krishna. Now Krishna is very, very happy if a devotee also becomes a magnanimous giver. My dear devotees, you will not gain entrance into the kingdom of God by remaining or becoming a taker. You must become a giver. Give away your time, your intelligence, if you are rich, your wealth, and preach to people to elevate them. Krishna was once going through Vrindavan, and as he was going through Vrindavan, he saw the trees, and in great ecstasy, he began to praise the trees for their being magnanimous. Here is Krishna's own words for you. Taking shelter of the shade of the trees, Krishna became very happy. While walking, he began to address the inhabitants of Vrindavan. My dear Stoka Krishna, my dear Varutapa, and so on. He calls all his friends together because he wants to tell them something. Just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan. They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rain, scorching heat and piercing cold. But they are very careful to relieve our fatigues and give us shelter. For instance, this tree under which we are sitting, it didn't have a heater this night. It didn't have a closed room. It was very cold for the tree. In the morning, it was almost ice cold fog which enveloped the tree. Yesterday, we hang something around the tree, but the tree is always there and will give us the shadow. Now it is not required, the fog gives us the shadow. Krishna is so happy about the trees that he says, My dear friends, I think these are great souls who are glorified in this birth as trees. They are so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated, charitable men who never deny charity to one who approaches them. No one is denied shelter by these trees. They supply various kinds of facilities to human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruit, jade, roots, bark, flavor extracts, and fuel. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything possible, his body, mind, activities, intelligence, and words, engaging in the welfare of all living entities. And here's a purport. Different people may accept certain welfare activities to be beneficial for human society according to their own views. But the welfare activity that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is the spreading of computer technology. Oh no, wrong. I'm sorry, I'm a little spaced out. But the welfare activity that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone should be prepared to propagate this movement as instructed by Lord Chaitanya. One should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. This is from Krishna book chapter 22. If you become more advanced in brahminical qualities, my dear devotees, you should know that as a Brahmin, you have six duties, and half of these six duties is giving to others, being magnanimous. The six duties of a Brahmana are to study the scriptures, to perform sacrifice, and to live by receiving charity. In case you do not know, Prabhupada gave me the Brahmin initiation and I'm at this moment a little poor. Hare Krishna. So the next three duties are, you should not only study scriptures, you should teach scripture. You should not only perform sacrifice, you should perform yajna for the benefit of others. And you should not only receive charity, you should give charity. It's very important for your moral and spiritual growth to become magnanimous. Hare Krishna. So I'm very, very thankful that you have listened so carefully. We will now make a little pause of 15 minutes. A well-deserved pause, I think. Please use this pause. Some of you might like to chant, move a little bit around as to become more fresh. The next quality which we will have is a quality which I personally like extremely much. Krishna is Karuna, or compassionate. Yes, Karuna Sindhu. Yes. So, in 15 minutes, who has one of these very good wristwatches? Which
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.